I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
Oh, we're doing it. We're back.
Woo! Pew pew!
Those squeezy applesauce things are so incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting fruits and veggies.
Yeah.
In a fun little pack.
Wow. Have you gotten the ones with dinosaurs on the front?
No. What?
Yeah.
No, mine are just anthropomorphized
fruits and veggies.
Fruits and veggies.
Yeah, the same brand has ones with dinosaurs on them.
Wow.
Highly recommend. Not because they taste any different, but because they have dinosaurs on the front.
But because dinosaurs. Obviously. Yeah.
What a great start to the pod.
Doing great. I'm having a small child snack over here.
And I'm hydrating because I spent time outside in Arizona yesterday, which means I'll be dehydrated for a week.
Huge mistake. Huge mistake. Also, inevitable as a person. Usually you do have to go outside.
Yeah. Once in a while. We went out there for fun, which was the mistake.
Oh, yeah. That's on you. No. Oh, well, so we're back after about a 6-week hiatus. We'll call it our summer break.
Yeah, it was totally intentional.
Since then, Anna went to the United Kingdom.
I sure did.
I discovered that my coughing in the last episode, which I think I expertly covered up with pew-pews. You're fucking welcome.
Pew-pew!
Was actually bronchitis brought on by the fact that I had COVID. So lots of exciting stuff happening in our worlds.
We are truly thriving.
Oh my God. But because so much has happened, and we're lazy as fuck.
Mostly that actually, one.
We put in a lot of work to make this. It's just, it's a different kind of work.
Yeah.
So we are again giving you nothing but tips today. Nothing but tips. Some of them as long as picks. Some of them, three words.
We could have divvied these up in some fashion that made more sense, but really that was the part of extra work that we were not interested in doing.
This was just like a stream of consciousness. What has happened in soccer since the end of June?
And we still missed things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is not everything.
This is by no means a comprehensive list, but you know,
we're giving you a sweeping generalization of things that happened.
Yeah. There are things that we found in our messages back and forth to one another for the past 6 weeks. And that's really what this is.
Pretty much. Yeah. But it is good stuff. It's exciting stuff. Yay! And we're bringing it to you in our classic hilarious fashion. This content that you have come to know and love over the last 2.75 years.
Oh, shit.
And by that, I mean 1.75.
That makes a lot more sense.
Math is hard. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to eat my little fruit squeeze and
I think we've been doing this as long as I've been in my master's program, which fuck. I don't know why I decided that was a good idea. To do both simultaneously. Not that I put a lot of effort into my master's program, because I really, really don't. I put in the bare minimum.
Which is a similar vibe of what we do for the pod. But gosh, darn it, we just have so much fun when we do it. So we keep doing it whenever the fuck we want, and you're just gonna deal with it. All two of our spouses. Which we've decided is basically, and maybe Claire, maybe Anna's stepmom, are the remaining consistent listeners. We still love all of you fair weather fans who drop in and out every once in a while. You're still in our hearts, but
what is your cat doing?
Wait, where's my cat? Checking out the sink, apparently. Wow, this is such a...
Sometimes I really do wish that we recorded video.
Oh, fuck. Well, there she goes. Just climbing down. Little Ann Perkins. I'm going to let her out. Good. Hold on, everyone.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Did she actually want out? No. Did she want attention? Yes. But she's the one who bites. Oh, my God. Keeping all of that. Maybe.
No, I definitely think we should. We're only 5 minutes in. I feel like we can get through all of this.
We got time to kill. All right. So we're going to kick it off. I'm having a lovely spread of, as I mentioned earlier, squeeze apple thing. I don't know. Wait, were we recording? I don't know. I'm having one of those like little squeezy fruit things. Pistachios, cashews, and a little bit of cheese. I'm like a rich small child right now. It is ideal. Okay. I'm going to chew these cashews and then we're going to get started.
Your snacks are like moderately healthy. And yesterday I put a bowl of Lay's limon chips together with Tapatio on top, which
that sounds amazing.
It's truly incredible, but I also think may have contributed to my dehydration because that is just a bowl of salt.
I was like, yeah, that is only sodium. I mean, to be fair, this fucking cat is now at the door again. I cannot. I don't want you to think that this is an accurate snapshot of like what my snack intake is like, because on the other side of the nut spectrum, which is probably going to be the title of this podcast now. Anthony's mom gave us some salted caramel churro covered almonds.
Shut up.
Which are fucking delicious, but if you have those, that's just like a bowl of sugar. And I also snacked heavily on those yesterday. So, you know, it's all relative.
Okay, but where did she get them? Because I want them.
Sam's Club.
Goddamn Walton family.
I know, right? It's like all Arkansas.
Oh, right. Yeah, because that's, yes.
Back to the pod. That's 2 minutes you'll never get back. All right. Tip number one. We're not going to keep counting the tips, though, just so you know. I just did it because it was the first one. Tobin Heath is back, baby. She has returned to the NWSL. She's playing for OL Reign now. Are we a little salty about it? No, because she didn't make the choice to leave Portland. You're fucking welcome. We are sad, though. There is still sadness, not saltiness. Okay. But we do love to see that she's back. So we also love some classy Megs. Throwback to like 2020 reference, maybe. That maybe none of you will remember. But
except our spouses, who are the only two people who listen to this pod.
Yes. On July 30th, OL Reign faced off against Angel City. And classic drama. Match is tied 2-2 in the 89th minute. Holy shit. Are you ready? Huerta sends a ball into the center of the box, and who is there but Tobin Powell Heath? Yay! To put a left-footed beauty through the keeper's legs. A nutso-butso nutmeg, if you will.
And we always will.
Nut spectrum.
That really is the title of this now. Because we can't go back from that now.
Nope.
Okay, next tip. 80 Franch's incredible PK save. On July 10th, we saw an outstanding penalty save from 80 Franch of the Casey Current, who we no longer call Kansas Shitty because
they don't actually. They're really middle of the pack.
Yeah, they're not shitty. We love to see it. So picture this. Stoppage time. The 90th plus whatever minute. The Washington Spirit win a penalty kick against the Current, who are already up 1-0. So it's like the most drama. Tanaya Alexander of the Spirit steps up to the spot. This could be the goal to tie up the match. Franch then guesses correctly, because honestly, the ball could go any which way. But the ball ricochets off her hand to the other side of the goal line, and she pounces like a goddamn cheetah on that shit as the teams swarm to try to get it. Franch saves it, and there is much rejoicing. Incredible. Also, side note, there were like a lot of other incredible PK saves that have happened in the NWSL recently, since the last time we've done the pod anyway, because
so not recently.
In the past 2 months. But I mean, again, we can't do them all.
Next up, we have Ebony Salmon. You know I fucking love Ebony Salmon. Loved her since she was playing for fucking Bristol City.
Yep.
Fucking relegated team.
Woof.
Ouch.
As you may recall or may not recall, because I don't recall if we told you, Ebony Salmon was traded to the Houston Dash and was feeling a little salty about her lack of playing time in Louisville. Well, Louisville's having some regrets about that now, because Salmon came in and has been absolutely tearing it up in Houston. She got her first goal on July 16th. So great. That first goal then turned into a fucking hat trick against Chicago. I mean, can you even? It's very exciting. And then because of that and other excellent play, she was also the NWSL Player of the Month for July, which just outstanding. Outstanding, Salmon.
Okay, next tip. Portland crab-solutely trouncing Gotham. Also on July 16th, the Portland Thorns just demolished Gotham FC with a 5-0 win at home. Just one more time for the folks in the back. 5-0. All right. So the goal started in the fifth minute.
So early, the fifth.
The goal started in the fifth minute. Yikes. Because I read fifth and yikes simultaneously and also combined it with the five from before. Okay, everybody.
Crushing it.
So by the 10th minute, the Thorns were up 3-0. Okay. Just 10 minutes into, just a reminder for how many minutes there are in a soccer game, minimum of 90. Okay.
15.
Okay. So Gotham came back like a bit, but it wasn't enough. And the Thorns just absolutely crushed them. Special shout out to Bebe, Olivia Moultrie's goal, the second goal of the night, which was taken outside the 18-yard line with her left foot and was just a bullet. You go, tiny Bebe.
I mean, it was just like top right corner. I mean, it was.
She's going to be unstoppable for a long time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think she's going to like the U20 World Cup or something like that. Because quick reminder, she is 16 years old.
Jesus Christ.
But wow. Okay. Anyway.
Next pick, Angel City versus Tigres Femenil this coming Wednesday, August 10th. They're playing at the Bank in LA, and that's going to be incredible. I know that I have been sleeping on the Liga. Their league name is bizarre because they just put MX, which I think is I know it's for Mexico because they're a Mexican team, but I don't know how they pronounce it because nobody ever talks about it. They just say the Liga anyway. Don't sleep on the Mexican League because they're incredible. And there are so many other good teams. I mean, Mia Fischel, who we'll be seeing because she plays for Tigres Femenil, decided not to play in the NWSL so that she could go play over there. So that's going to be an incredible game because Tigres is like probably the best team in Mexico right now.
Speaking of international matchups, the U.S. Women's National Team, it was announced this week that they would be playing England, the Lionesses, at Wembley, which is a very big stadium in England.
Wow.
For sports and other things, concerts, fun facts. Okay, anyway.
I think I mentioned later that did I do it in this one? Oh, yeah, it has a capacity of 90,000. It's like, it is, I think, is actually the biggest arena in England.
Yeah, big time big. So it's also where the Euros final was held. Capacity of 90K. Wow, 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 wow. So, you know, tickets went on sale, typical, as tickets do, going on sale. And then shortly after, within a quick 24 hours, the game was sold out, which we fucking love, with a women's tournament game thing. Friendly. Is it friendly? I don't know.
It's just a friendly.
But holy cow. Much excite. Also much excite for things related to countries near the United Kingdom. I don't know why I'm trying to connect these because there is no connecting them. Heyo is back. Yeah. And by that I mean Heather O'Reilly, she just recently retired, like back in 2019 at the end of the NWSL season. She like had a bebe, another bebe. And then has been like low-key thriving in North Carolina as a part owner of a coffee shop. And has just decided to grace us with her presence in the soccer world once more. So she's going to be playing for Shelburne Football Club in Ireland. You're welcome that I did not call Ireland part of the UK because I have, in fact, studied history. And, you know, if it was Northern Ireland, it'd be different. But, well, it's the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So, you know, they're together. God, I am just full of geographical wisdom for you today. But we are very excited. Heather O'Reilly was an iconic player when she was, you know, she started very young with the U.S. Women's National Team and played in multiple iterations of women's soccer leagues in the United States. So very excited to see her back on the pitch.
We love that history degree coming into use.
It's the only time.
The only time my undergraduate degree comes into use is when they have a religions category on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a great use of your time.
Yeah, that's really all I got. All right. Next tip, as we just become upset about our useless undergraduate degrees. All right. Next tip, the women's soccer final will conclude the 2024 Paris Olympics for the first time ever. Usually men's soccer is the conclusion of the soccer games in the Olympics, but not this time, bitches. The women's soccer final will conclude the programming and it will be a standalone event, meaning there are no doubleheaders. Because I guess usually it's the, I didn't really think about this, but it's a good point. The bronze medal match will happen right before or after, right before the gold medal match. So there's like a lot going on and it doesn't get the attention it deserves. This game will happen at Parc des Princes on, I think the date is August 10th, like they already have it set, of 2024, which hopefully still has some good vibes for the U.S. Women's National Team from their last game there, which is when they beat France in the 2019 World Cup. So hopefully they make it to that game and it gives them the good vibes that they need to win.
As you'll recall, Anna was at that game.
I sure as fuck was.
Thanks for the reminder. Me? Okay, anyway. So, next tip, Sue Bird, our beloved grandmother slash boss.
Yes. Call back.
Yeah, big time. Is joining the ownership group for Gotham FC. So, this is Sue Bird's last year in the WNBA. Let us now take a moment of silence for sadness. You know, I'm realizing I could cut that. But we really paused, and that's what matters.
We gave Super the time that she deserves.
Yep. Precious time on this pod.
I went to the last game that she will ever play in Phoenix against Diana Taurasi because the likelihood that the Mercury are going to make it to the postseason is not very high. But that game was packed. Unfortunately for Sue Bird, the Mercury crushed them. But like the amount of people who were there to see her last game, like she is an icon. It was incredible.
Incredible.
Incredible. Because in basketball, they also play with balls.
Wow, what a coincidence. that nut spectrum, you know. Okay, so obviously, you know, she's going to have a little free time on her hands and she's a bad bitch. So she decided, I'm just going to join the team's ownership alongside Kevin Durant and Carly Lloyd. So she is originally from Long Island and with Megan Rapinoe being so big in women's soccer, it's just like, it's a move that makes sense. And we fucking love to see it. We do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Next, icons. Tobin Heath and Kristen Press held pinkies at the ESPYs. All right. You know, does this actually need to be a pic? Probably not. Did I immediately send photos to Jillian as soon as I saw it? Absolutely. Because did you see them at the ESPYs? First of all, they were dressed in Gucci and looked incredible. Like, how dare they? But there was an interview. Like, I don't think Kristen Press did any other interviews besides this one. But some news source, I think it was like some trashy tabloid, which made it even better, asked about this being their red carpet debut. Yeah, my bad. I'm so sorry.
Call back.
And Kristen Press, being the very smart person that she is like, well, we've been on red carpets before. Actually, after the 2019 Women's World Cup win, we flew here from our ticker tape parade to do the red carpet for the ESPYs. So it's like, not actually our first red carpet, but sure. Because she knows what information we're fishing for and she still won't give it to us. I mean, how dare she want to keep parts of her personal life private?
Whatever. Rude.
Whatever. But then the interviewer is talking about power couples and it's like, there's a lady in Seattle and your teammate and they form a power couple, but like you two also form a power couple. And Kristen Press is like, a lady in Seattle, you mean Sue Bird? Because, you know, she's going to name it. If the guy's not going to name it because he's being a piece of shit, I mean, she's going to do it because it's Kristen Press. And then she just goes on to be like, well, yeah, because like that power comes from within. And I think that we just like exhibit that. I'm just, God damn it, Kristen Press. Just, you know what we all want to know. It's okay. And they won't actually confirm anything because they don't have to. They get to live their lives. But they held pinkies and Tobin Heath created a whole art piece that says, I am gay. So we're only just commenting on what we've seen, you know, because we have to. We have to give you the news.
They know that we know that they know that we know.
For real.
Thank you for that latest edition of The Gay Agenda, Anna.
You're welcome. Brunch is after this.
Mimosas.
Good. Sorry, I just wanted to treat yourself.
Incredible. Okay, next. Jennifer Garner being a true soccer mom. So, as you know, because we've told you, and also the internet, Angel City FC has a star-studded cast of part owners, investors, etc., including actress Jennifer Garner, who there are pics, there is evidence of her just passing out orange slices, literal orange slices, to players on the field, which is just fucking adorable. And that's the pick. I thought it was great.
She was also wearing a shirt that was like Angel City Soccer Mom. Next tip. Medal of Freedom for pedo. Callback. She did go to the fucking White House. So the Medal of Freedom. Medal of Freedom.
Freedom.
The Medal of Freedom is the highest civilian honor, and it's given to someone who has made, quote, an especially meritorious, really?
I don't know. I copied it straight from Wikipedia.
I know, but what a terrible word. Anyway, quote, an especially meritorious contribution to the security of national interests of the United States, world peace, cultural, or other significant public or private endeavors. So you go, Megan Rapinoe. A Medal of Freedom for you, Megan Rapinoe.
Yes. Please have fun celebrating with that lady in Seattle.
Yeah, what's her name?
Next. Thank you. Next. Finally, fucking VAR, video assistant referee, is coming to the NWSL in 2023. This has been a long time in the making. If you have watched the World Cup or most men's leagues, if there's a dispute of a call on the field, not all calls, I think there's certain things that they can't dispute, like offsides or something. But the ref can go check the VAR to make sure that it was the correct call, just like a little extra assurance, or they can then reverse the call. But the NWSL and many international women's matches still don't have VAR because sexism, the patriarchy, etc. So this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah. It was at the Euros, which was great for all the times that England and other teams scored, but mostly England. And they could check if it was a fair goal because it happened a lot. And it was great to see. All right, next. Okay, so this is just Anna talking about Kristen Press. That's what this pod is, okay? And you're all going to listen. Thank you so much. So Angel City and their social media are doing the most pretty consistently. And they have, during their media day, they took, because obviously they don't do this consistently, they sat down, because that'd be ridiculous. They sat down the players and asked them a series of questions to be used in little clips that they would put on their social media throughout the season. And one of them is like, what is your comfort movie? And Kristen Press's comfort movie is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Not just one of the movies, all of them. There's really nothing more to that tip. It's just important to note that CP is just like us.
CP23. We love it. All right. This is big. This is a big tip. All right. We are going to have another guest. You heard it here first, obviously, because this is our podcast. And so we will be telling you about our podcast. But we decided to make friends. I reached out to a creator on TikTok. Very hip of me, I would say. So whenever the next podcast is, TBD, obviously, based on our current track record.
In 2 months' time.
Yes, we're trying to do it sooner. Oh, God, my microphone. I'm very professional, good at stuff. Okay, so we will be welcoming M. Woods, who is a women's sports lover and general funny lady on TikTok. I think you can follow her at M. Woods Casual. She has great content. She is like an exact combination of Anna and me. She loves the WNBA. She loves the NWSL, all women's soccer.
She talks about Twilight more than anybody should, which also I do in my life.
Brought up Even Stevens and the going to the moon in 1969. I mean,
yeah,
we're very excited. But she responded to us. We're going to have a chat in a few weeks to, you know, figure out stuff. And also so that we're not awkward as fuck when it's like, oh, hi, I'm meeting you for the first time. Please come be on our podcast. Like, no, we're going to have like a get to know you session, a little play date. So
what they don't tell you about adulthood is actually you're reverting back to being 5 years old in kindergarten and trying to figure it all out again.
It's hard.
It's terrible.
It's very terrifying, especially like on the internet when you're just kind of like reaching out there with nothing, like not even I saw you in person. It's like I saw a video that like thousands of other people also saw.
I saw this video and I thought you were funny. Do you want to be funny with us?
You know, I blame me being tired one morning because Anna had sent me a video and she was like, we have to be friends with her. And I was like, okay, yeah, like this is Anna telling me that we should go for this. And so I did it. And then Anna was like, you actually did it? Like, wow. And I was like, yeah, I guess I did.
So. Yeah, because I would have never, honestly, I would have just sat in the comfort of my own home and never have interacted with another person that I don't already know ever again.
But she seems so cool. So if you're listening, Em, we're so excited to welcome you to the pod. That may be the first time we've ever done that. And someone may genuinely actually listen to it because, like, maybe she's listening for reconnaissance. Like, what have I agreed to?
Honest to God.
I could also tell that I was tired because she commented back to me and my, like, TikTok name is Jilbo Baggins. And then I like told her in the message to her, I was like, it's not my real name. It's like, obviously, Jillian, like it's 7 a.m. We fucking know it's not your real name.
But what if it was?
What if it was? Kristen Press, what if it was? Would you come on the podcast? I will change my name. Anyway, we're welcoming a guest whenever, so we'll keep you posted.
I mean, after that, maybe we aren't.
Oh my God.
It's like we've never interacted with other people before. Anyway, next pick. Britt Eckerstrom is back in Portland. Keeper Britt Eckerstrom, who you may remember, stepped up big time in the 2020 Challenge Cup for the Portland Thorns, retired last year sometime, maybe late 2020. Honestly, who knows? But anyway, she is coming out of retirement to be a replacement goalkeeper on the Thorns, which is a thing that they do because also Nadine Ongerer was also
technically
on the list for a long time. Anyway, it's pretty fucking neat. Next.
So my birthday was like 2 weeks ago and Anna got me the coolest shirt. It looks like it is straight out of the 1990s.
Which, by the way, is the decade that we were born in.
That is. We were born in the 1900s.
What?
And it has Mia Hamm all over it, and it's just super dope, and I'm obsessed with it. So that's small tip, but also not small because I'm very excited.
And the only time that I have posted on our social media in the past 2 months was for your birthday, so, you know, I'm really on top of that, too.
Well, maybe do something this fall, I don't know. Yeah. Summer is just a different time. And by that, I mean 2022 has been a different time. All right. Next, Sophia Smith just became the youngest to score 10 goals in an NWSL season. So this is incredible for the Bibby. She has been on absolute fucking fire this season. She's tied, I think, with Alex Morgan now for the most goals this season so far. So watch out, baby horse. Actual baby is coming for you. Bum, bum,
bum. You should have sang coming for you, like good for you, by Olivia Rodrigo.
Coming for you. I should have, because I literally put the number 4 in the letter U, so I really would have fit. Anyway, North Carolina is at the bottom of the rankings, end of tip.
Thank you so much. Cindy LaRue, a.k.a. Sid the Kid, got traded to Angel City from Orlando and has been loving it, and we have been loving it, especially with CP out with the ACL tear. It was just a good move for Angel City, and it has worked out quite well all around. San Diego, next tip, by the way, moving on, San Diego Wake have their first game in Snapdragon Stadium on September 17th. They have been playing at Torero Stadium at USD because Snapdragon is still being built, but it's almost done. And they had their first game there next month. Also, they're at the top of the rankings, which is like amazing in general, but especially for an expansion team.
Absolutely. And they have been like steadily there, like, which is cool. And also Portland is like right behind them, which is also very cool.
Yeah.
Now, we're into the more somber time of our podcast.
Thanks, David Attenborough.
You're welcome. I was listening to the last pod and listened to when I tried to do the accent for Rebecca Welton.
Ouch.
It was something. So anyway, drops. Barbara Banda was ruled out due to gender verification tests. So Barbara Banda is like star player for Zambia. Scored a bunch of fucking goals in the Olympics last year. Totally crushing. So it's very fucked up that they are doing this to her. Hate it. We don't like it.
Yeah. And for clarification, she was ruled ineligible for the Women's Africa Cup of Nations, which is like the CONCACAF thing that gets you into the Olympics.
Yes.
It's the same kind of tournament. All right. Next. We've talked about her before, but honestly, it is an ongoing situation. So we can't ignore it, but Brittany Griner, the entire situation is fucked. She's been detained for almost 175 days and has now been sentenced to 9.5 years in prison in Russia for having less than an ounce of cannabis oil, which, by the way, the max prison sentence is 10 years for that. She's being used as a political pawn, and it's truly unconscionable. You can tell that it's a political pawn, but honestly, the only reason she's getting any attention is because the 144, which are the players of the WNBA, will not be quiet. And they have joined forces with the NBA, which is a larger league. And so there's like hundreds more people who are talking about it, which then gets folks like us talking about it.
Right.
And because now there are so many people who won't be quiet about it, Biden can't ignore it. And it is just a fucking shit show.
Yep.
And to use people as political pawns is just god awful.
It's some shit for sure. Okay. There was a crypto deal with the NWSL. Voyager Digital, which is a crypto company that the NWSL partnered with this season, has filed for bankruptcy. Bankruptcy. And as a result, the NWSL has told players that they could be out money as a result of this. What? This deal was funded crypto accounts for players. Like, so half the value of the deal was set to be paid to the league in cash, and then the other half was for individual athletes to invest in crypto through the platform. So huge bummer that this is happening, because like, why are the players like the ones that have to suffer? Because people are stupid.
There's a very delightful show on Dropout TV, which if you have $5 extra a month and would like good laughs, I highly recommend Dropout TV. And there is a show called Make Some Noise, which is three comedians get prompts and they have to improv something based off of the prompt that they're given. And one
is the College Humor people?
Yeah. And one of the things the first episode was an old-timey prospector getting into crypto. But what happened was Brennan Lee Mulligan, Dropout Treasure, was doing it, and then he slowly devolved into why crypto is stupid. And it was just incredible. And I watched it to get me fueled up about this whole thing, because not only is it deeply irresponsible to do something so volatile that would not potentially pay out to your players on a money system that is volatile in and of itself, but to then say that they might be out money is just like even worse. But anyway, yeah. I had to watch that to get me like, get the fire fueled.
Get rage!
Anyway, next drop, Jaylene Daniels sucks. You all know it. We've talked about it before. She opted not to play in North Carolina's Pride Night. First of all, she came out of retirement, which sucks. And then she opted to not play in North Carolina's Pride Night because they wore rainbow nippers. And Daniels is a known homophobe. And we do not care for that shit at all.
Wow.
No. And I mean, she came out of retirement because I think North Carolina like asked her to come out of retirement because they were out so many fucking players.
Yeah. Because like, that whole shit with Paul Riley went down.
Oh my God.
Terrible, gross, piece of shit. And so players didn't want to continue to play there. And so they all left. And so they're like, hey, you still live in North Carolina. Would you, and hear me out, be willing to come back and play?
Even though so many people on our team are like known members of the LGBTQ community.
Oh, and also all of North Carolina hates you. Thank you so much. Come back.
I mean, and I think it just sucks because like, it's not that like we hate every player who plays for North Carolina or anything. Like there are lots of like good players on that team who do good work.
Yeah, Carson Pickett, a treasure.
Yeah, Dabinia? Oh my God. But it's just like the system that's in place there has been completely toxic. And to bring somebody like this back who has done shit like this before, shit for the U.S. Women's National Team, mm-hmm. you know, to do that, it's just, it's irresponsible. It's like, it's stupid. It's hateful. It's ignorant.
It's bad. We don't like it.
Yeah. Yes. We don't like it. So something else we don't like is me being a total dipshit. So this is like a, yeah. So like same level as Brittany Griner being in fucking Russian prison is the fact that I have been repeatedly sending Anna the same shit that Anna has already sent me on Instagram because I don't read my messages first. In my defense, I have no defense. It happened two times in a row. It happened with Heather O'Reilly and it happened with Jaylene Daniels. Like, I was telling Anna earlier, I was like, I get so excited because I was like, now I get to finally send Anna something first, like that she hasn't seen yet. And then I scroll up and it's the same fucking article. And I'm just like, I see Anna's like red receipts as I go through the process of realizing it on Instagram. I'm like, God damn it. Fuck. Like, not again.
But also thank you, Just Women Sports, for putting out that content so quickly that we just gobble that shit right up.
Right? Yeah. So good. So good. So that's that drop.
Next drop is whatever the fuck is happening with Louisville and Orlando losing all of their good players. I mean, we've already mentioned how Salmon and LaRue are thriving elsewhere. And Louisville and Orlando are falling apart. And it's just really not a great look for them. It's unfortunate.
We don't want them to fall apart. Don't get us wrong. Like, we want all of the teams to, like, be not terrible.
We want them to thrive. All of them.
Yes. But it's, I have to say, we are a bit confused about what is happening, David.
Is it something about the purple? Like, what is?
Yeah, is it about the purple, like, two most recent expansion teams before these two? Like, what is happening? So we would like to see good things happen. Because, like, and, like, CC Kaiser left and some other folks left. And CC Kaiser is doing very well in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And we're a little confused.
Just have a lot of questions.
Yeah. Another thing we have questions about, the continued shit that is happening for Canada soccer. So back on July 12th, Rick Westhead released an article about the internal workings of Canada soccer. If you'll remember, they're having an equal pay situation up there. He said on Twitter, and I quote, over The past weeks, I have interviewed 31 current and former Canada soccer executives, board members, national team players, agents, and corporate sponsors. The reporting paints a picture of an organization consistently bedeviled by internal battles over transparency and governance.
Ouch.
There was also criticism of Canada soccer response, and the joint statement from the men's and women's team said the article by Westhead, quote, raises serious concerns about whether Canada soccer can be a proper steward of our sport and the revenues associated with the women's and men's national teams under the current leadership and governance structure.
Classic. The article and the statement are both worth reading. They are very long, too long for a tip. But on July 14th, Just Women Sports posted at least the whole statement from the men's and women's soccer teams on Instagram. So check it out. Check out that article by Rick Westhead. And also do better, Canada Soccer. Do fucking better.
Yeah. Somebody else who needs to get better is Sam Uys. Kansas City announced this week that Sam Uys' leg injury is not going to be better in time for her to play any part of the season. So they've officially put her on the season-ending injury list, which is a, como se dice, boomer.
Indeed. But I will say that she and Lynn Williams are both now in Kansas City, technically. But they both have season-ending injuries. But the fact that Kansas City is doing as well as they are doing this season means that they are, like, building chemistry as a team that is not reliant on these, like, more seasoned, like, national team players, which I think bodes well for them when those national team players do return.
Yeah.
So that's the end of the sad stuff. That's done now. And now we have more tips because sandwich. Yay! All right. CONCACAF Finals, U.S. Women's National Team versus Canada. Anna did say we shall give no further explanation on this statement, so I didn't. Alright, so the CONCACAF, it stands for Confederation of North Central America and Caribbean Association Football. Fun fact for you, just dropping them out there so that you can, I don't know, get that on a Jeopardy question or something. I just assume you all listen to Jeopardy as well. Yeah. And listen, I mean watch.
Yeah, because we watch it religiously.
If we had a problem with YouTube TV for a minute where I could not hack the system and make it think I was in Arizona, but now we did it again, so it's okay.
Everything Anna fixed it. The order is back in the system.
So now I can watch Jeopardy because I record it on YouTube TV.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes. Obviously. Oh, I was watching. There was this like weird free channel in the place we were staying at in Arkansas, and it had like The Price is Right from the 70s.
Yes.
And it was excellent. Anyway, another fun fact for you. The U.S. women's national team were undefeated in their last 30 CONCACAF matches leading up to the final versus Canada.
Sorry, I was trying to remember. Okay. So, and I'm pretty sure I've said it on the pod before, but the scene from Pitch Perfect where whatever Skylar Astin's character's name is, Jesse, says, fun fact, and like goes off to say something. And Anna Kendrick's character says, you should let other people tell you that they're fun. Is my life in a nutshell. And I was just trying to remember if I've said that on the pod before, and then I decided that I didn't care.
Okay. Say it again.
All right. So this tournament, the CONCACAF tournament in July, was the qualification for the 2023 World Cup for CONCACAF Nations. The U.S. won all its matches leading up to the championship with Canada on July 18th, as you could have guessed by the fact that we said all that shit about them being undefeated. Context clues.
We're really nice to our listeners. So we could cover all these matches, but there were a lot of them. So we'll just give you some highlights of the final, which was badass. Though, as is expected with Canada, it was your typical defensive slog. No goals in the first half, but that doesn't mean it wasn't much excite.
The U.S. had lots of opportunities, but never on target. Or, alternatively, Canadian keeper Kaylin Sheridan came up big. The one save that we will shout out happened in the 45th minute heading into stoppage time. It was a It was a tale of the Sofias. Sofia Huerta gets a ball from Horan, then sends it into the box to Sofia Smith, who is like perfectly placed at the goal. She kind of stumbles it towards the goal line, but Sheridan somehow traps the ball between her legs on the line and keeps it out. Incredible butt save.
It really was.
It was incredible. Like, not just like incredible, but genuinely incredible.
Yeah. Like, Anna and I were texting each other and she was like, Steven and I just screamed. And I was like, Anthony just asked me if I screamed. I did scream. It was, there was much screaming happening.
Yeah.
So then in the 76th minute, still 0-0, we have a San Diego showdown in the penalty area. Canada's Chapman, typical, takes down Rose Lavelle from behind.
Okay. Okay, so as soon as she got subbed on, I was like, oh no, she's going to get physical. She might pull ponytails because that's what she does. And then this happened. I was like.
Anna predicted it. She did. I also was, the other thing we said about her is I was like, isn't it kind of funny how subs just like so intensely like run on the field? And she was like, but also Chapman is like another level of intense, like when she runs on the field. Anyway, so yes, Chapman hits Roosevelt from behind and the U.S. wins a penalty because of it. So Alex Morgan goes to the spot against her San Diego Juev teammate, Kaylin Sheridan. And then we just see on the camera, close up, deep breaths from our baby horse. Yes. What? Anthony said, do it for your Charlie horse, which is pretty adorable because her daughter's name is Charlie and her nickname is Baby Horse. Combine that. Do you get it? Please clap for me. And I guess really glad for Anthony because he came up with it.
Yeah. Also, when I was watching this, is this the PK where they kept – giving the ball to another player, like Horan took the ball.
Okay, I thought that it was, but they didn't show that in the highlights. I was like, I feel like I remember. I even tried to go through our text messages to see, but I think that it was. I think that they kept giving the ball to like other people to kind of like throw her off.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously Sheridan and Morgan play together. We just talked about it, but I think it was a thing that they were talking about is happening more and more is like, one person picks up the ball, it's like looking like they're going to take the PK. And then it just kind of like a different person goes up to the spot and they just kind of keep walking around until the final person gets to the spot because then nobody's getting in their head too much about it, which is just very interesting. But yes, she takes the shot and Sheridan goes the wrong way. Golazo. You love to see it, which has to take some skill because you know they've practiced that shit before. That was enough to get the win for the U.S. To celebrate, apparently Alex Morgan put 20 margaritas in the trophy, which you love to see. So not only is the U.S. going to the 2023 World Cup, funny story, so are we.
Oh, wow.
That is the plan, to go to Australia and New Zealand. But they also punched their ticket to the 2024 Olympics in Paris. Big time yay. Hell yeah.
So exciting. All right. Our final tip, which basically is a pick, but.
Yeah, because I wrote a novel.
Anna did. Full disclosure, I have not had a chance to watch the match that we're talking about because I was driving. You're welcome, Ernest. But he doesn't listen to this. But we are going to give you the lowdown. I'm going to hit you up with some things that we have determined to be fun facts. All right.
We're telling you that they're fun.
Yes. So before, so we're going to be talking about England's win in the Euros. Big fucking deal. Some other fun shit. But before we get into the wins of the of the English. So just a, it's not that fun, I guess. Just a fact. Spain was down two of their star players, Alexia Putellas and Jenny Hermoso. So both due to knee injuries, Putellas tore her ACL during training for the Euros and Hermoso strained a ligament in her knee, which is a huge bummer, a huge kneer for Spain. Probably the top contenders like prior to those injuries because Spain has been on fire. Sweden also had some injuries that really messed with their flow, but even still, they were not playing as well as we know that they can. So which ultimately led to England absolutely trouncing them 4-0. And this was such a good goal. Alexia Russo putting the nail in the coffin with an incredible back heel goal. And not just a back heel goal, but a back heel nutmeg.
Wow.
Another classy Meg goal. What the fuck? And that's the kind of shit that would make former Manchester United teammate Tobin Heath slash also Tar Heel.
Yeah.
Like, you may have heard of her. Like, so proud. It was like very a la Tobin Heath.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Now, let's talk about the final. England versus Germany. A little history lesson for y'all. In the 27 matches these teams have played against each other since 1984, the Lionesses had only won twice and tied four times.
Wow.
The last time these two met in a final was the Euros in 2009, where Germany just crushed them. So this was England's chance to bring it home. And bring it home they did, because that's the thing in England. I don't know if you know, but it's coming home. It's like their thing. I assume that people don't know, because really nobody listens to this. Anyway, Alexander Popp, veteran German player who scored both goals in the semifinal that they had against France, was ruled out during warm-ups of the final for Germany. She had been dealing with an injury and had been subbed on most games throughout the Euros, except the semifinal, and looked like she was finally back. And so with that decision, England was just in a better position. They didn't have to deal with one of Germany's best attacking players at all, which I think mostly put them in a better mind space. But they did have to deal with Lena Oberdorf, 20-year-old wunderkind, who is truly going to be amazing for the next decade or even longer. She's currently playing for VfL Wolfsburg, and she is feisty, and she's got great footwork, and she has great vision on the field, and she's potentially going to be a big issue against the U.S. because she's very smart. The entire first half is scoreless and it's stressful. This game in America, by the way, on the West Coast is like 9 a.m. So I like woke up and watched this game and I was like, all right, this is going to be a lot. But there were great chances all around. The power shifted between the teams a lot and it was genuinely a great game of soccer.
Yay! So because I clearly am taking this from my own memory, in the second half, both teams come out with this like new level of determination and they play hard. In the 62nd minute, Kira Walsh sends the most perfect ball downfield through defenders towards Ella Toon, Manchester United wunderkind. Toon is basically by herself and is one-on-one with the keeper. Instead of sending a low ball to the corner, which is generally what a player would do in that scenario, she has the youthful audacity to chip it over the keeper's head to put England up 1-0. Wow, 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 wow. So everything about the timing of that goal was incredible. Walsh sending the ball forward when Toon was still onside, Toon making the run once the ball was sent to get behind the defenders. It was impeccable.
But alas, earwax, Germany responded. In the 79th minute, Germany was sending some passes in the 18 around the goal, like trying to find their way in, when one air quotes like pass that really seemed to be a shot on goal by Tobia Wasmuth got deflected by Lena Magul and found its way to the back of the net. Mary Earps, the Manchester United keeper and starting keeper for the Lionesses for this tournament, was amazing. Like not only in this game, but throughout the Euros. But without McGull's deflection on that ball, I think Earps would have read it and stopped it. But it was just a great touch by McGull to deflect it. And like she knew that that was what was needed to get the ball to the back of the net. So after 90 minutes of play, it's all tied up. A whole half of extra time goes by and it is still all tied up. At this point, everyone, you, me, the players, the coaches, the other fans, we're all dreading PKs because that's like the worst way for something like this to end. But the second half of extra time starts and just the determination of these teams at like just end this thing is palpable. Like they're going hard. In the 110th minute, England gets a corner kick. Lauren Hemp stands on the corner, ready to take it. And you've got the just like the usual clusterfuck of players standing in the 6-yard box waiting for the service. And Chloe Kelly, Manchester City striker, sits herself directly in front of the goal, like a yard away from the line, in the middle, two defenders around her, just like in front of the goal. And when the ball gets sent in, it looks like defender and English Tower of Power, Millie Bright, gets her head on it and sends it towards the goal. Chloe Kelly tries to get her foot on it, but kind of whiffs it, but she does not give up. She goes for it again and pokes it in, putting England up 2-1 with less than 10 minutes left in the game. The best part about this, besides them getting like the game winning goal was that she did a full on Brandi Chastain whipping off the shirt in celebration. And I just love that a new generation has that image and experience now. I mean, Chloe Kelly got the yellow card for it, but it's an iconic moment and worth it. Even Brandi Chastain tweeted about it and was like, I see you. Welcome to the club.
Fuck yeah. That's so awesome. For the remaining time, England just plays keep away until the final whistle is blown and hot diggity damn. England brought it home for the first time since 1966. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's both the men's and the women's teams.
Yeah, fucking right. So now for some predetermined fun facts.
Yes.
That are not directly related to the run of play. Russo's cleats will feature at the Tower of London with the crown jewels. Oh my God.
Yeah.
There were 87,192 people in attendance. Over 17.4 million viewers in the UK alone. And then the second largest international viewership region was San Diego. What? That's pretty cool. Also important to note that the Lionesses coach,
Serena Wiegman,
has now won her second Euros in a row. The previous winners were the Netherlands, and she was the head coach at the time. So what a track record.
Yeah.
Wow, 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 wow.
I mean, that Lionesses team, they didn't have a lot of veterans on the team. It was Ellen White and Jill Scott. Jill Scott got subbed on in late in the second half. She's the oldest member of that team. She's 35 and played in the 2009 match where they lost to Germany in the Euros. And so this was just like a great full circle moment for her. And I feel like she feels like she can retire now and be okay with that.
Yeah.
But it was genuinely, like, obviously I was rooting for England in that game because I have no ties to Germany, but I do to England. And I cannot remember the last time I watched a game of soccer that, like, honestly, if either team won, it wouldn't have been the biggest of deal to me, but was just like genuinely such a good game of soccer all around. Like, there was drama, there was like great playing. The refereeing wasn't the best. Like, there were a lot of moments when things were getting called for one against one team and not against the other. So there's something to be said for that, but still, it's just so good.
Pew-pew.
So good.
Excellent. Well, that's all, folks. That's it.
Yeah, goodbye.
That's the tips. All right, see ya. We're out. But yeah, that's what we have for you today. Hope you enjoyed.
You're welcome.
I know you enjoyed. I know you did.
You're so welcome.
Oh my God. I will say though that for those of us who listen to this for the Pretty Little Liars content.
Oh my God. Did you watch it?
I haven't yet, but okay. Anna has some news about this.
I sure do. This has fuck all to do with anything we talk about in this podcast, except Pretty Little Liars is back on HBO Max, which also is not going to be a thing next summer. Like, they're getting rid of HBO Max and merging it with Discovery Plus, a la Disney Plus did with National Geographic. Anyway, that is neither here nor there.
Interesting combo.
But Pretty Little Liars Original Sin is on HBO Max, and it is, there's like, there is an A, and that's really the only, and there's five teenagers, and that's the only similarities. But it is like, it's got the vibes of Riverdale and the newer Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Not Melissa Joan Hart,
but Kiernan Shipka.
Yeah.
And it is like a lot darker than Pretty Little Liars ever was. And Pretty Little Liars has got pretty dark.
Yeah.
But like, this is like, it's a lot. And there's a little bit more gore that you see. They definitely went darker and they went a little bit more intense. And the next episode is already out and I have to watch it. I watched the first episode and they went fucking hard. And I will continue to watch it because they do own my soul.
So we much. Always told you that there might be a Pretty Little Liars corner on the show.
So happening. Don't say we didn't warn you.
Don't say that. My cat just stepped on my fucking computer. Great.
Oh, yeah. You should follow us on Instagram and Twitter for all the content that I don't post there. But you can look at things that we have posted in the past. Maybe every time I send something to you on Instagram, I should just post it to our Instagram story. Maybe. So at least there's something there. That could be a smart thing for me to do. I don't do it, but I could do it.
For all the pity likes and follows that we have on Instagram.
Yeah, just from the people that like us.
Yes. Oh, cool.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can also send us an email at hatpickspod@gmail.com. I get notifications for that email. I don't check it very often, but I mostly just check it to get rid of the notifications because I hate them.
That's what I do. I delete the Twitter notifications.
Oh, I don't even get Twitter notifications. I turned that shit off a long time ago.
Oh, no. I don't get the email sends me notifications.
Oh, Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. So on that note.
Yeah.
I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been.
Hat Picks Podcast. We have done this in so long, I don't know what we are anymore.
Just the tips. Times three.
Jesus fucking Christ. I'm ending it. I'm done.